Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get him.
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan, and maybe or maybe not a weird antivirus commercial that may or may not have played in front of this podcast. Thanks. You mean donate?
So hot sauce is a no-go?
Well, hot sauce, he's not an official sponsor yet, but we'll get to that. Jerry Embler of JLD Hot Sauce and Knives was nice enough to give us some hot sauce samples. Thank you, Jerry. I got the medium, which is fantastic, but yeah. It's very hot. It's great on my breakfast eggs, but it's a little too hot to cook for my family. I love the medium. Andrew, you got the hot, and it melted your face, correct?
It did, but I mean, it was still, it was borderline too hot, but it was great. Very tasty, lots of flavor. I mean, it's a legit hot sauce.
It's legit. Yeah. Like, it's not like it's not to be trifled now, with. It's JLD Hot Sauce and Knives. They're local. They're award-winning. Check them out. They're cool. He gave us samples. We were like, Dave, you got the medium too, right? Or you got the hot?
No. I got the holy shit. Burn your face off hot. I got like the highest that it goes because I like spicy food and I like spicy stuff. But even this was probably too much. I mean, like you just dip your finger and lick it and your tongue is like swollen. But it's cool though because they're a hot sauce and a knife company. Also sells knives. So it's perfect because you buy one of his knives and then you can use that to cut your tongue out and you can't take it anymore. You'll instantly forget about the heat I'm sure his knives are high quality, so it'll be a nice clean slice of the tongue right off. And you won't even be worried about the spiciness anymore.
Or you could just impale yourself and then
that
pain would supersede that of your tongue.
But Jerry, we love the hot sauce. And look, people, like it's hot sauce. It's award winning, and it's not for children. This is adult big boy hot sauce. So, all right, look.
Speaking of knives, this has absolutely nothing to do with anything. Speaking of knives, there was a kid. I think he was in England, and he was like 15, and he had a what he thought was a knife proof vest. And he put on the knife-proof vest and started stabbing himself to prove that it was knife-proof, but it wasn't knife-proof, and the kid died. He killed himself because he stabbed himself because he thought he was wearing a knife-proof vest that wasn't knife-proof.
Where was this, in England?
I mean, it's sad, but it's incredibly stupid.
I saw this on Reddit yesterday.
I mean, it's sad, but it's incredibly stupid.
I don't know. It's kind of funny.
It is. I mean, it's a little ridiculous. I mean, like...
Why did he have to put the vest on to prove that it was knife proof?
Could he have done that? Or just buy it from someone else?
No, he bought it. I think it was like a product.
So he could totally, his family could sue, right?
It's on the level of the person that got the tattoo, "Only God Can Juge Me." But it's added tragedy to that. Like it's on that level of dumb. It's just got tragedy mixed in. I mean, God, I do some dumb shit, but that's...
I mean, only God Can Juge Me has some tragedy.
It does. But at least your man is still breathing and can, like, go to a better tattoo artist and try to, like, get it, like, worked out or something. I don't know.
I've told you guys this before. I've probably said this 100 times on the podcast, but I get Only God Can Juge Me. I get that picture from someone in a text every 3 years. It's amazing. And someone thinks they've discovered it for the first time and they send it to me.
So it's the slow time of the year. We admit that. But the Saints did actually kind of have news. They did the they did the Hall of Fame this week, right?
Yep.
And they did Pierre Thomas, which Dave, that's a slam dunk, right? Right.
You PT can't. Is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, like that's a slam dunk, right? You can't.
Is PT overrated? Is he?
No.
Is he underrated? Is he overrated?
No, I think Pierre Thomas is properly rated. Is he not?
He was never a 1,000 yard back, correct?
No, but he got 100 yards catching and 100 yards rushing in a single game.
In one game, yep. Is he the only Saints running back to do that?
He might have been the first. I don't know if he was the only. Huh. Darren Sproles might have done after him. My whole thing with Pierre Thomas, I don't think he's overrated or underrated. I think he's rated just fine. You know, I think for
he's definitely a fan favorite.
Yeah, nationally, I would say he's underrated. For Saints fans, I would say he's probably rated right where he needs to be. I mean, my whole thing with him was, I feel like Peyton and the Saints, they could have used him earlier on. I feel like, obviously, you know, he beat out Michael, what's his face?
Antonio Pittman.
Yeah, from Ohio State, who they drafted. And
they traded up, too, to get him. They traded up to the number one pick in the fourth round to get him.
Traded up to get him, signed Pierre Thomas after the draft, undrafted. Pierre Thomas beats him out. But I still feel like they didn't even use him that much in that first year or two. It really wasn't until, actually, I think it was that Chicago game in Chicago at the end of the season.
Yeah,
where he put up the 100 yards receiving, 100 yards rushing.
Which was kind of cool because he's from Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think his stats would be even higher, honestly.
His first big play ever as a Saint was in 2000. What was it in 2006?
Right.
2007. They started 0-4. Right. He scored the touchdown and the punt block in Seattle. Like that was the first play he ever made as a Saint. Right.
That might be right.
Like, that was, like, before he did the thing in Chicago where he had 100 rushing and receiving, like, he was on special teams. And I don't think he blocked the punt, but I think he picked it up and scored. And that was, like, this catalyst for, the Saints' first win of the year. Man, I have a weird Saints memory. I can just pick random shit out of my head. The more interesting one, though, Andrew, is Lance Moore. Because I'm like, is Lance Moore a Saints Hall of Famer? I mean, he did the Super Bowl two-point conversion. Did the McKringleberry celebration dance, which is awesome. He did the goal scoring celebration dance in London, which was awesome.
Celebrations.
Yeah, I mean, but like, is he a Saints Hall of Famer? I don't know. Is he?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is. You know, but if you go to like all time, I mean, he had longevity. And I think that's in his favor. I mean, I do find it interesting that these guys both went in together because they're best friends. They're both UDFAs. They were both kind of like combine castoffs. In other words, not really that impressive. But I mean, I'm a little surprised. I mean, he did have the 2-point conversion, so that's worth something.
He was a Hazlitt leftover too. Like he wasn't like a guy that like Peyton brought in as an undrafted free agent. He was like a guy that was just like lingering.
Yeah.
Post Hazlitt,
I'm a little surprised that Devery Henderson didn't get in over him.
Well, the thing. Like if Lance Moore is a Hall of Saints Hall of Famer, then Devery Moore is a Saints Hall of then Devery Henderson is a Saints Hall of Famer. Dave, I mean,
and he may still make it.
Yeah, has Henderson been out of the league? You have to be retired for 3 years.
Henderson's been out longer than Moore.
Yeah, Dave, your thoughts on Lance Moore?
I thought it was weird just. I guess are we at that point. I was kind of surprised by both of them, to be honest with you. They're fairly recent alumni. alumnuses or whatever. I mean, they haven't been out that long. Are we? I guess my question is: have they really put all of the other deserving players, Saints players, from years past? Are they already in the Hall of Fame? We're really at the point where Pierre Thomas and Lance Moore are the two most deserving guys.
Yeah, I mean, the only guy. I mean, you know, there's guys like Jari Evans and Colston who will be first ballot guys. I think Colston's eligible next year. Ralph, is that right?
Yeah, Colston's eligible. That's why people are like, how can Lance Moore get in before Colston? I'm like, slow down, Hoss.
Yeah,
Colston will be in first ballot next year.
Those guys will be first ballot, but I mean, really, the only guy I would say old school, you know, that probably belongs that isn't in yet is maybe Charles Grant.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. Dave, your thoughts on that?
I guess I agree.
Yeah, I mean,
all the big names you can think of, like, you know, even like Joel Hilgenberg is in. There's really no one. I mean, Aaron Brooks is in. You know, like even like controversial figures like Archie, Aaron Brooks. I mean, they're all in. I mean, Bobby Hebert's in. You know, Charles Grant, I would say, is really the first guy I can think of that maybe belongs over a guy like Pierre Thomas. Maybe.
I mean, man, Pierre Thomas, the Saints Hall of Fame, like Tom Dempsey's in on one kick. Pierre Thomas, you can almost put him in based solely off of his NFC Championship game against Minnesota that he had. Like, it's that great of a performance. It's almost 200 total yards. He ran the kickoff back in overtime to set up. He had the fourth down play in overtime. He scored two touchdowns. Like, if Tom Dempsey can get on get in on a kick.
Get in.
So what's that, Dave? Repeat that.
I didn't say anything. Andrew said Tracy Porter needs to get in.
Well, Tracy Porter, he's a guy. He's two plays. Like, what else has Tracy Porter done besides maybe the two greatest plays in Saints history?
Well, but I mean,
that's all you need.
Yeah, if you're saying Tom Dempsey gets in because of the one play, then I don't see why Porter doesn't get in because of two plays.
Well,
Dempsey's played in the regular season.
The bar is kind of low. You're going to have to build a whole fucking wing for the 2009 Saints. Like, if you're going to put in, you got to put in Porter, right? You got to put in Chris Reese. He recovered an ambush. You got to put in Lance Moore. I mean, like, you can put in the whole roster. Who's not getting in from 2009
besides the safety we shall not name? Steve Gleason is beloved for a lot of reasons, okay? Like, we all know why we love Steve Gleason, and he's got a whole wing of the Saints Hall of Fame dedicated to him. So that makes me wonder about Curtis DeLoach. Like, he's the guy that actually scored the touchdown. Like, why do we value the act of the blocked punt more than the actual score?
Well, I mean, football, it has nothing to do with football. It has to deal with, we love Gleason. He embraced the community even before his ALS, but now he's got ALS, and we love him to death, and he loves New Orleans. So, I mean, it's not that, but you know, the Saints Hall of Fame is like,
Curtis DeLoach is like, for as big of a touchdown as his play was, he's like sneaky undervalued based on the meaningfulness of what he did.
If you're going, if one play can get you in the Saints Hall of Fame, Brian Milne needs to get in.
Yeah. Another big one.
It's devolved into Saints Hall of Fame talk, which half our fans love and half the fans are like, where are the fucking jokes, man?
Well, the whole thing is about Moore and Thomas, two UDFAs. And, you know, honestly, neither of them ever had amazing stats. I think Moore maybe had 1,000-yard season. Neither were ever Pro Bowlers.
Yeah.
Both were huge parts of the Saints offense when it was at its peak, when it was in kind of DEFCON mode. And, you know, at the end of the day, when you look at those two players, I think they epitomize, like, the unsung hero.
Well,
And they were beloved by fans, both of them. I mean,
well, one thing that's interesting about Moore is everybody remembers the two-point play in the Super Bowl, which was huge, obviously. But the thing that was interesting about that year, he was hurt the whole freaking year, basically, after about week five. And the Saints did not IR him and just waited and waited and waited. And then he made the play in the Super Bowl, which is odd, you know, because the Saints usually, on a lot of guys, they'll have a quick trigger to IR. But they didn't for Lance Moore, which I think tells you something of what Sean Payton thought of his value, even though he was far down the depth chart as far as offensive guys. That was Saints Hall of Fame talk. Dave, I created this just for you.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
Which
there's a lot of other great Seinfeld bits better than
it's maybe the best. And I'm not even a huge Seinfeld fan, but it's maybe the best Seinfeld soundbite ever. But we talked about it. George Costanza. It's not a lie if you believe it. So here's my topic that I wanted to do tonight. I want us each to create a sweet, sweet lie for the 2018 Saints season that you believe is going to happen. Andrew, I'll start with you.
Taysom Hill will score over 1.5 touchdowns.
Ooh, that's dangerous because that could mean Breeze, like not throw the touchdown, like score the touchdown.
Doesn't matter. Either way.
That's dangerous because that means Breeze could get hurt.
Could be a fake punt, could be a touchdown pass, could be a fake field goal, could be like a wildcat package, but he scores over 1.5 touchdowns.
I like that. I like that. Dave, your prediction.
Okay, what is this? A lie that we believe?
A lie that you believe. You're going to concoct a fantastic thing that's going to happen to the Saints that's like 99% not going to happen, but you believe it, so it's not a lie.
Wow. Our Ingram and Kamara will stay healthy all season.
I was also thinking just Alvin Kamara MVP.
Alvin Kamara, yeah. MVP fantasy god. I'm going to go with, this is my prediction, and it officially makes me president, chairman of the David Onyemata fan club. David Onyemata is going to have 7.5 sacks. I am officially an Onyemata stan. I am.
Guy. Like, unrealistically.
No, I believe in my heart that he's going to break out and be the Saints' best defensive tackle in 2018. He's going to be better than Rankins, and the Saints are going to be kind of in a tough spot because next year he'll be a free agent. Like, he'll have one more year, and then they'll decide what to do with him. But I believe that Onyemata is going to end up being their best defensive tackle.
Dave thinks Mark Ingram is way better than he actually is. You think Onyemata is way better than it actually is.
No, I know he's not that great yet. I just see the potential. Like, I'm those people that I made fun of about P.J. Williams. I'm that way about Onyemata. But at least Onyemata, his first 2 years, has actually played.
Can you guys name a guy that I think is way better than he actually is? Who is my Mark Ingram for Dave or Onyemata for you?
Right, first of all, Mark Ingram had an All-Pro. Wasn't he an All-Pro last year?
Yes, he was.
Pro Bowl.
Well, he was certainly in consideration.
If he was All-Pro, he would have had his contract voided.
I know. Yeah. He was certainly, he had a great season last season. Why are we dogging on Mark Ingram? Jeez Louise.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Who is your guy for?
Probably Kikaha. Yeah, that's probably I've always thought he was amazing.
You were like, man, I remember when he made that play last year against Atlanta. You were so excited. I should have saved the text on my phone from that. Andrew was so excited. He's like, that's the moment, man. He's coming around. He's gonna be good. If he could just stay healthy, but he can't. He might not even make the team this year, Andrew. Are you going to be heartbroken?
I know. Yeah.
But...
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah. That'll be you, Andrew. So...
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah. I just like playing it. So the Saints actually signed somebody. They signed Terrence West from Baltimore. Andrew.
They did. Yeah. I want to take a moment here to remind everyone of my hot take quote. I think this was like two podcasts ago where I said the Saints player besides Kamara that will have the most carries in week one is not currently on the roster. And they just signed Terrence West. So
he's
I'm gonna take the big bow right now.
Yeah. But do you think
Wait, Dave, you could say I was right. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. What was your hot take again? Say it again.
That the player that would get the most carries in week one for the Saints in the regular season.
Okay, besides Kamara. you can't claim victory yet when we haven't even gotten to week one. This guy might not even make the
I don't know.
Oh,
he can't claim victory day, but he's like 4 furlongs ahead if it was a horse race.
He's
like,
you know, he's on the right path.
I mean, it might not be West. Like, they could still make another move.
I just think, exactly. I don't necessarily think it's West, but the fact that they signed him proves that they don't feel good about these youngsters.
Look, they wanted to bring DeMarco Murray in, but DeMarco Murray was like, nah, bro, I'm not working out with other running backs. I'm just going to wait until a running back gets injured, either in training camp or at the beginning of the year, and then I'm going to sign with that team to get me more carries. So I'm not going to go through your little dog and pony show, Saints. But if you want to give me a guaranteed contract or whatever, call me later. I think like he's still in the mix. Like I could see injuries or whatever happen in the first couple weeks of training camp or after a game or two, and the Saints being like, oh, Jesus, Boston is a fumbling mess. West is washed up. Hey, DeMarco Murray, you know how we talked about not doing with you, maybe you can come in and we could work something out. Like I still think that would prove your point further, Andrew, that the guy's not on the roster. But I'm not even.
And there's a non-zero chance that it's Adrian Peterson.
I would say, Dave, that I'm not at all. Like I would say, West getting actual carries in a regular season game for the Saints is still below 30%. He doesn't impress me at all.
Well, I don't know if the signing means that the Saints don't totally love one or some of their young guys. I think they just want a little insurance, a little competition. I know you do. You just said that. But I don't know if I agree with that. I think they just want a little, you know, a little more veteran leadership and a little, just a little competition. You know, they don't want the young guys to feel too confident.
Or the young guys kind of suck. Remember the whole thing about the quote, Ralph, with Buddy D? Ralph?
I'm sorry, Andrew. What was that?
No. Remember the whole thing about Buddy D's quote?
About don't believe what they say, believe what they do?
That's right. So the Saints are saying, we're not going to sign a veteran running back. We feel good about the guys in the building. We're going to see what they've got, and we're going to evaluate them first, right?
And that's what they said like 10 seconds.
When they didn't immediately sign a veteran running back when the Mark Ingram news hit. So what happens? They're in mini camp for a few days, and boom, they sign a guy. They bring 4 or 5 guys to work out. You know, they wanted Murray in there. They got Jamal Charles in there. They brought back Hightower. And West is the guy they signed. So what does that tell you? That tells me they felt good about the youngsters until they got to minicamp, and it was an oh shit moment.
It was oh shit, our running backs blow chunks. That's a great point, Andrew. I mean, they don't like their running back. I think it's a part of they don't like the running backs, and I think it's just a thing of, hey, we can sign West, we aren't quite sure. Like, I think David Boston, and I would say I'm not 100% certain that the Saints absolutely believe it's a disaster the first 4 weeks if Kamara's not running the ball. I just think they're worried, and they are lying that they feel totally fine about it, but it's not, they're not in panic mode yet, I don't think, Dave.
No, I don't think it's panic mode at all.
All right, so I got some great, we got some great Twitter questions, but this was a question from Cody, and I just want to move it ahead of all the Twitter
questions.
Wait,
you guys also saw that Delvin Bro got signed by that.
Yeah, Delvin Bro had to go back to Canada because teams wouldn't touch his back. Which, Andrew, quickly, were you surprised that he didn't get an NFL look?
I'm not surprised at all. I mean, he broke the same leg twice, so... I'm not remotely surprised. I am very sad for him. He never got a contract. You know, he basically got a minimum deal with the Saints for 3 years. He played that out, and then he didn't get a new deal. And there was 1 year there in particular where he was pretty damn good, and he could have gotten a better deal. So, I mean, it just sucks for him that he never got paid, and that's you know, there's so many guys in the league that get rewarded with enormous contracts and they don't do anything in the league. So that's a big bummer for me.
Dave?
What, am I surprised to see him not get signed? A little bit. I don't know. I guess I would have thought maybe he'd still wait it out before signing with a CFL team. I guess he was ready to move on.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
Nick Underhill reported that a lot of NFL teams would not pass his spine, like that there were concerns about the health of his spine. They just didn't really feel like he could play. So
yeah, and teams, it's the insurance issues, and teams are just like. Teams are, I think the NFL in general is just like panicked that they don't want to have like a massive horrible injury on the field, and they look at guys like Delvin Bro and they're like, eh, is it worth the risk? Is it worth the PR hit? But it's sad for him. I mean,
you,
he was
you mean
really,
because
really
of the dude from Pittsburgh?
You know? So we got cool Twitter questions. And this was a great one from Cody, and we started arguing via text, and Andrew was like, let's just do the show now! So we're doing the show actually earlier than we normally do. And Cody asked the question, what do you think is the biggest mistake was for the Saints in the past 10 years? Andrew, I'll let you go first because we argued about this a little bit.
Oh, man, there's so many. I mean, I know what Dave's going to say and I know what you're going to say. So I'm gonna actually say Jason David. Because I think the Saints were one corner away from you know, you look at how they did in 2006 and they lost to the Bears in the NFC Championship game in large part due to Fred Thomas being too old and they just didn't have a second corner. And so they spent a lot of money and they landed Jason David, a guy that played almost exclusively in his own defense, and they try to switch him to man, which he wasn't used to. I may have that backwards. I can't remember now. Anyway, the Saints scheme did not work for him at all, and he was a disaster. And I really feel like in 2007 and 2008, Saints had tremendous offenses, but they didn't have a second corner. They tried to make Jason David work because of the investment, and it was a killer.
I think they really lost
a lot of momentum in two great years in 07 and 08 because of him.
The one thing I'll say about that, and I think it dings your argument a little bit, is Jason David was like their fourth choice at corner that year. Like they couldn't work a trade out that they wanted, and like the other three free agents they wanted turned him down. And like, so he wasn't like he was a massive move. He was like, shit, we need a corner, we need a corner, we need a corner. Oh shit, the music stops, and Jason David, you're the last one left, we're dancing with you. So
yeah,
that's why,
okay, but you know, if they were concerned, if he was their fourth choice and they weren't sold that he was the guy, then they should have made more of an effort in the draft, and more importantly, they should have been quicker to pull the plug. I think they were so desperate to make it work that they maybe forced him on the field longer You know, it's like Stanley Jean-Baptiste. Like, they figured out pretty quickly that he wasn't going to cut it. So the dude just never saw the field. And that's kind of how I felt about Jason David. He was on the field way longer than he should have been.
So you feel like Jason David, well, you could, that's a good point. You feel like he wrecked 2007 and 2008. So that's, it's a solid choice. Dave, your choice.
Well, mine's kind of similar to Andrew's. It's another failed secondary signing. And I hadn't even thought about Jason David. I'm actually kind of surprised by Andrew's pick, but I think
it's
that's a
good, it's an interesting choice. I like it.
Pretty logical. Yeah, it's pretty logical. But no, mine is the Jairus Bird signing. You know, again, you had a situation. You know, I remember after Rob Ryan leaving, you know, one of his big things that he said was about how they, you know, Jairus Bird really didn't fit Rob Ryan's system. And they, you know, they went out and they paid all this money to sign this guy that Ryan didn't even necessarily really want or know how to use. Making the situation, I think, worse than the Jason David signing is the amount of guaranteed money that they gave Bird.
He was the highest paid safety in the history of the league.
Yeah,
right. I think it was like, what, $40 million guaranteed or something like that?
No, it was like 28 guaranteed. Like it was like 56 over six, I think.
I thought it was even more than that. But, you know, and it handicapped the team for years to come as far as the salary cap is concerned and being able to sign other players. I think it set him back a couple of years, and obviously we know what happened. Bird wasn't very healthy, and when he wasn't very good. It's almost like they didn't learn their lesson from Jason David from, you know, 3-4 years prior.
Bird's a good choice. David is an interesting choice. My choice is the Junior Gallet extension. Because they didn't have to do it for 2 more years. And they gave a complete fucking knucklehead a giant contract and then had to pull the plug. And Andrew, what was the hit on the cap? It was like $18 million towards 1 year?
Yes. Yeah. Dead money. Yeah.
Like it.
It was horrible.
Destroyed the cap. Jairus Bird didn't play well. And they had to like keep him maybe longer than they wanted. But they didn't have to cut him and like detonate the cap all at once. They got to, like, Jairus Bird, what, he played 3 years and then they cut him and, you know, they took a pretty chunk big hit, but it was only like $7 or $8 million for Bird hit. Junior Gallet's hit was fucking $18 million and he wrecked their cap and he put them in a bind for a bunch of years. He could have done a bunch of other things. And the thing is, Andrew, they knew that fucking Gallet was a knucklehead and they still gave him the money. Like, why? They didn't have to do it. They just could have waited. Like, why?
Well, I think at the time, the contract they gave him was below market value. So, you know, I think that's the risk that you play. You.
What other guy did they pay 2 years ahead of time, though?
That's what they've done with Morstead. That's what they've done with Pierre Thomas did it. I'm trying to think of who else. I mean, there's been several. Teron Armstead did it. You know, and the idea is
Jari Evans did it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're gonna get the security of a deal 2 years before, you know, you're in your contract season, but you don't get to hit the open market and drive your value up, but you get your guaranteed money
but
now.
None of those guys were a knucklehead.
You risk like an injury or whatever.
None of those guys were a knucklehead though. Like Junior Gallet was a knucklehead in college. He was in the Saints. Like, how could they not know? Like, I just
I wonder if they knew. Like I wonder how much getting paid changed Junior Gallet.
Maybe. I mean, I'll tell you one thing.
The beach video was filmed before he got it, huh? Well, I don't know, but it was filmed after. Earlier than when it came out, and it's certainly possible they didn't know about the.
This reminds me of your Inspector Gadget-esque detective work.
Whoa. Inspector Gadget was terrible.
Inspector Gadget's niece, detective.
Yeah,
Penny.
Yeah, Penny.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. But Cody, that's a great question. Here's an interesting one. from Alan. If you had to pick one current Saints O-lineman or D-lineman to play for U.S. soccer team, who would you pick? Anyone is eligible except for Armstead. That 40 time makes him too obvious. Andrew, who would you pick Saints lineman to play?
I was about to say Armstead. I mean, I think I have to go with Davenport because he's the biggest athletic freak.
Yeah.
And in soccer, I mean, you need athleticism. I mean, none of these guys are fast except for Davenport and Armstead. Yeah. You know, maybe you could put Cam Jordan at goalie or something. I guess I'd go with Davenport.
This is from Guillaume. Sorry to butcher your name again. For the first 4 weeks, Dave, in terms of rushing and filling Ingram's role, your boyfriend, what would you prefer? 300 yards from Terrence West or 200 yards from David Boston? In each scenario, the other player struggles and is out of the rotation when Ingram comes back.
Why wouldn't he just want the most yards? Like, why would he sacrifice 100 yards just because...
Because that means that Boston struggles and I guess won't be there for the future, and isn't a good future prospect. But I don't know. People are really in love with this Boston guy, and I'm not so sure that I understand it. I'm not so sure that I'm on board with it. So, like Andrew said, I'm just going to take the yards.
I don't give a shit. I mean, David Boston's fun. Wait, he's
300 yards in four games, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
I mean, that's astronomically more than 200 yards.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Boston hype train is going to be fun and all that. But I don't give a shit about his future, his career. I need the Saints to win games to start this season, because after the bye week, their schedule is brutal. I need Terrence West being a fantasy guy that people are crushed by the stampede to the waiver wire to get him after week one.
If Terrence West can give me the Mike Bell early season explosion followed by the late season tanking and eventual benching because of wearing wrong cleats,
you'll sign right now.
Oh yeah.
I think I would agree. Let's see. Dave, you're the foodie here. Who has the best po' boy in New Orleans?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
I'm a big po' boy guy.
Yeah, I'm not a huge po' boy guy, but I mean, you know, I eat po' boys. First of all, you can't that's too general of a question. You can't say he was the best po' boy. You know, you need to talk about specific kinds of po' boys, you know.
Yeah.
If we're talking roast beef po' boy or, you know, fried oyster po' boy or maybe like a Vietnamese banh mi po' boy.
Well, what's your favorite po' boy and what's the place you go to?
So I'm like a real local guy, so I mean, I don't go to like Domalisa's or Mahoney's or anything like that. I mean, honestly, if I'm going to eat a po' boy, I'd probably go to Adams Street Grocery on Adams between, I think, Jeanette and Willow. That's like a very small neighborhood. It's run by an Asian family, and you know, it's like your typical New Orleans style deli where they do the po' boys and the sandwiches in the back, but they also, you know, have all the little
groceries and Central Tavern.
Nah,
done.
I mean,
done.
See, that's like a touristy, you know. I would go there, I guess, for
the one that
maybe roast beef, but there's another New Orleans uptown New Orleans style grocery po' boy place called Singleton's in Black Pearl, and they do like a Korean pork.
Why do you keep talking about these Korean po' boys?
Dave is a food snob.
Well, because Asians are responsible for a huge amount
stuff.
Of
they make good
food in New Orleans. I mean, yeah.
So So here, mine is, it's not the best, but it's wrapped in nostalgia, and I don't even know if they're there anymore. It used to be Charlie's in Lakeview, and they used to make half shrimp, half oyster, and I like fried oysters, like, just a touch overcooked, because I like the crunch, and Charlie's used to do it like that. I love that shit. And I know it's not the best or whatever, but that was my go-to. I would get it, split it with my grandma all the time. That was my go-to.
Did you ever, this is an old school place in Lakeview, La Vecchio's.
Yeah.
Did you ever go there?
Yeah.
That place was good.
That was
I also like sometimes, even though it's totally different and it's outside of the box, but I like R&O's sometimes. They do like the sesame seed bread. You know, they don't use the Leidenheimers.
I agree. They have a good po' boy for sure. And their salad for two for three, you know. That's
all right. You forgot to remind me again, Andrew. The people can find us on the Facebooks, the YouTubes, the Twitters. Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Find us. Go to the YouTube channel. Subscribe. We're up to like 160 subscribers. I updated it last week with the picture of Rob Gronkowski and shitty paint art.
Can we do like a whole episode this summer on just food?
We will.
You guys like Acme?
We have two more weeks to go.
We go there all the time. It's my son's favorite restaurant.
I mean, I feel like Acme, as far as like just chains go, is as good as it gets.
Okay, so here's a final question. And Dave, you might not know this because you don't give a shit about soccer, but Andrew, you probably do. Landon Donovan took a shitload of Wells Fargo's money to tweet out his support for the Mexican national team and how we should all root for them because the United States isn't in the World Cup. And people flipped out. So my question to you is, how much money would Wells Fargo have to give you for you to tweet out support of the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl?
You can say that or Alabama, really.
Alabama. Either one.
Yeah. There's no amount of money. None.
Your dignity has no price.
No. I mean, it's one of those things where I've drawn a line in the sand. I'm a diehard Saints fan, and we are nothing without our principles. And
that's nothing but pure and simple old-fashioned communism.
I mean,
what the hell was that? I don't even know what that was from.
I don't either.
It's from Smokey and the Bandit, people. Come on.
I'm surprised like people feel like this is that complicated. I literally do a podcast every Monday night about the Saints. I spend an hour of my life talking to you idiots every Monday night about the Saints. I live and breathe the team. I'm obsessed. We're all obsessed. We're on Twitter every day seeing if there's any new news.
And
rooting for the Falcons would be like betraying my own soul and fabric.
Yeah, and it's not like we've built like a media kingdom here, but like if we did that, it would like destroy the little audience and community that we have. Although, Dave, if the amount of hours I waste from Wells Fargo, I'd have to consider it.
Is time I could be making money. So if I was going to make money, if I was going to take money to root for the Falcons, that completely undermines the time I've wasted not making money, watching, rooting, and obsessing over the Saints.
Dave, is there a number in your mind that you would do it?
$20,000.
$20,000?
Yeah, what are you kidding me? $20,000? You know what I could do with $20,000?
Dude, no, it's got to be. It's for me, it's got to be six figures.
Two chicks at the same time.
It's got to
nice,
be. You're easy, man. You're like Landon Donovan. Landon Donovan took the sweet, sweet Wells Fargo money, man.
I am quite certain Landon Donovan got more than $20,000. Yeah, I mean, just because I put out a tweet doesn't mean I have to like the Falcons. Doesn't mean I don't root for the Saints.
Yeah, but
anymore.
You'll get ratioed.
I will take your
like
money.
A son of a bitch.
I will say
on the
whatever
Twitters.
You want me to say, but I'm not going to believe it.
You'll tweet like the next day. You'll be like, "Just kidding, guys. I'm throwing a party with strippers and blow with the money I got from Wells Fargo."
Yeah, I'd be like,
"No,
surprise, guys. I love Olive Garden. P.S. They just gave me $10,000."
It's not a lie.
But when you're there, you're family, you know.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Oh, and for the record, my wife was absolutely fucking bananas and almost intolerable yesterday during the Mexico soccer match. Like, it was the Astros in the playoffs on fucking steroids.
I mean, that was a big win for them.
That was big. It was big. Yeah. But, I mean, like, it was out of control. Her family, it was out of control. Mexico's like, they're like the Texas A&M of soccer. They have moments, but in the end, they always, like, never amount to anything. So, it'll be interesting to see. But my wife was, she was out of control.
No way.
So, I'm dead serious.
I am dead serious about this. You could offer me $50 million to tweet Go Falcons.
You wouldn't do it.
In a Super Bowl, I would not do it.
You wouldn't do it.
It would change my life forever. The quality of my life. It would set up my kids' kids. I would not do it.
You would not do it. You would not do it for any amount of money. Dave would do it for $20,000. I probably would do it if it was $1 million. I'm not going to lie. I could give up the podcast empire for seven figures.
Money. I hope there's someone out there that would actually tempt me so that I can prove that I would actually turn it down.
You could. It would be the ultimate Trump card when you had to prove your Saints fan bona fides.
My eyes are actually brown.
Yeah, right, because you're full of it. Your wife would certainly.
My wife.
Yeah, I'm sure she would have something to say, too.
Yeah, I mean, $1 million is $1 million.
It doesn't matter. She's not being offered. It would be me being offered.
It would be me. I'm like, but baby, I can't give up the empire. I just got nominated for a press award in New Orleans. I'm this close to being somebody. I can't just throw it all away for money. Yeah, I can. That wraps it up for today. I think this is another wonderful show. You people should be proud that you listen to this podcast. We need your money to help us support us. You should be proud that you listen to us. We gave you great content in the middle of fucking June. So, for Dave, for Andrew, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.